Hi, my name is Steve Fleming, CEO of River City Bank, which was founded almost 50 years ago. As a leader in a family business myself and a longtime board member for the Capital Region Family Business Center, I understand firsthand how incredibly important family businesses are to our economy and the unique challenges they face in sustaining from generation to generation. I think that you will find this podcast series informative, entertaining, and even humorous at times. That's why our family business, River City Bank, is proud to support this podcast. I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Do your best and let God do the rest. So when we built the sushi bar, we had no idea how to make sushi. I had to buy a book. One book I still remember, how I was a sushi for dummies. I mean, my sushi was horrible, yet I can do my best. And if it doesn't work out, I'm going to blame upstairs. So since then, I changed my whole attitude toward work and life. I never had a bad day since because I can only do is to do my best.
Hello, and welcome to A Seat at the Table, Trials and Triumphs of Family Business. Brought to you by the Capital Region Family Business Center, helping family businesses to grow and prosper. I'm Natalie Mariani Kling, your host and a fourth-generation family business member. I am so excited to join you around the table for real conversations about what it's like to grow up in, become a part of, and navigate the complexities of a family business. Special thanks to another family business, River City Bank, for their generous support of this program. Today we speak with Taro Arai and his son Koki, Family Business Center members since 2018, and the family behind the 36-year-old Sacramento tradition, Mikuni Sushi. As Chief Dreaming Officer, Taro tells us the story of how he worked at a paper route at 11 years old to earn enough money for his whole family to emigrate to America. We'll hear about the dream his father had that began their family restaurant, and how after overcoming everything from no cooking experience to green cards to finding themselves in over $11 million of debt, Mikuni adopted a new mission, to be the most loving and loved company in the world. And today, with 9 locations and tens of thousands of loyal customers, they are well on their way to their dream of 50 locations by their 50th anniversary. Welcome, Taro, and your oldest son, Koki. We are so happy to have you both in studio today. Your story, I mean, Taro, I know you've told it so many times, but it's such a great one. It's an immigrant story. It's a startup story. It's a story about goals and dreams and miracles. And probably most importantly, it's a family story.
Yes.
So I want to go back to Japan. You're 11 years old. Tell us what it was like growing up there and what led you to be interested in coming to America?
Well, I was an outcast and I wanted to be different. Some people say unique, some people say crazy. My last name is Arai, mean wild. So I was a pretty wild child and I wanted to be myself, and I couldn't be because everything has to be a certain way in Japan. And so I got in trouble. I got hit by a teacher. I mean, anything I did, I got in trouble. So I told my dad, how can I be myself? And my dad gave me an idea to go to America is a good thing for me. So I did a newspaper route for 4.5 years, almost 5 years, and raised money and came to the United States.
So you were set. You were in your mind, I'm going to America. And what was your vision of America like? Was it from movies? What did you visualize?
Well, I don't really watch movie. I didn't have any idea, no English whatsoever. I just wanted to get out from Japan. And I mean, my parents said, go ahead and keep dreaming. So I did. So that's what I did from 5:30 every morning. No matter what's going on, I did myself. They never helped me. And as soon as they saw I had enough money, they all decided to come together. So I ended up paying for whole family airplane tickets to move over here.
So, and for your parents, what were your parents doing in Japan?
My dad has been a pastor all his life. and we had a church. And in Japan, less than 1% Christian, so it's not really a money-making business. But my mom cooked for church members every Sunday for a dollar. So our church grew because of my mom's cooking.
Wow. And when they decided to come to America, did he look for a pastor job here?
So what happened was we found the church in South area, South Sacramento, needed a Japanese-speaking pastor. That's why we were able to get green card within a month. That was a miracle. It will never happen again. Only problem was there are only three Issei, which is first-generation people. So they were 88, 91, and 101. So they paid my dad $450 a month. That was his pay back in 85.
Oh my God. That's amazing. So that you all come over together. And you, how many siblings do you have?
I have a brother and sister. And I was junior in high school. We worked because we needed to. And did the newspaper route, collecting cans, cardboards with my brother. My sister and my mom did the housework. But after 6 months or so, I told my dad, I need to graduate at least high school. So I went to high school without knowing anyone, without a language. It was pretty tough out there in the beginning.
Were you bullied?
Well, I mean, I had no idea, different culture. And of course, they took advantage of me because I trusted everybody. I'm from not Tokyo, but countryside of Japan. We trust everybody. So it was an interesting first 2 years. And somebody say, if you don't get it, just say no problem. So I kept saying, you know, no problem. Who's your teacher? No problem. That's all the word I knew. And I carry that in the business too, by the way.
So good. That's so good. So you land in Sacramento, and where did the idea for starting a restaurant come from?
You know, one morning my dad woke up, he said, I had a dream, the vision, that God is telling me to open the restaurant. Okay, so this is a very typical Japanese man, never cooked in his lifetime. He still doesn't know how to use a microwave. I mean, today. And he's telling me we're opening a restaurant. I told my dad first, okay, what's the business concept? What's the plan? He had nothing. Only he had was a dream and vision from God.
And so what was the first thing you did as a family?
We had to pray with him. That was his, you know, I don't know, every... We have the same faith. It was easy because we get together. We had the same purpose and goal. And then he kept praying about it. So we did together. It was a crazy story. We met one Japanese man, ended up giving us $300,000 without knowing who my dad was. I mean, just to, my dad shared the story of, you know, dream about opening the restaurant. And somehow he just wanted to give us money.
Tell me how you met him.
Yeah, I mean, I think second time we met was on the street, actually, because he was looking for houses in Roseville area. And then he had a fanny pack. He had glasses taking pictures. So I knew he was Japanese. So we started talking and I found out he was buying all the houses. So we're living. I moved 10 times first year and a half looking for cheaper rent. And then we were talking about he was buying a house and this and that. And then I told him, anything I can do, let me know. And we exchanged the phone number. He started talking to my dad. And my dad shared the idea of opening the restaurant.
You say he was looking to buy houses. So did he come over here with the idea that he wanted to invest in business?
Yes. I don't know about business, but he bought all the houses. So I ended up renting one of his houses in Roseville. That's why I moved to Roseville. And then I think it was going about $1,500, but we didn't have money. So they gave us, he let us rent it for $350 a month. This is amazing. It was another miracle. I mean, I don't know. I can't explain why this happened. You know, all these things happened, just kept happening.
How long do you think it was between the time your dad had the dream and the vision until you got the capital?
I mean, it wasn't that long. As soon as he told me, we stopped praying. And next time I know, we met him and we wired $300,000 to our account.
And what do you think it was about you and your family that gave him the trust to invest in you?
I don't think he knew what was going on because, like I said, my dad had no idea. He didn't know where to open even. We live in South area. He just opened the map and he was a runner. He said, oh, there's a dam out there. I want to run around the dam. That's he picked the Fair Oaks location because of the dam out there. There are no Asian people live by Gold River Folsom back then.
And back then there were no businesses around.
No.
Either, right?
I think it was like? One of the worst locations you can even imagine to open the business.
Amazing. And did you have to build a building?
So they had a building. So that too, we didn't know. And they said, this hoodie is $50,000. Of course, I said, no problem. And this lighting is, you know, $15,000. We had no idea how much everything worth. We never bought that kind of expensive stuff in my life, you know? So I kept saying, no problem. Kept writing the checks. And next time we know, within 6 months, they called us. We ran out of money and we had a $2,000 in fine writing bad checks.
And at that point, tell me how you felt, and did you feel like you had failed, or did you feel like, okay, this is just part of the process?
I mean, we had no idea what's going on. I mean, we didn't know. Okay, even menu, I was looking at the other day, chirashi, we charge about, how much is now? 29? We used to sell for $3.75 the
for
dish.
What?
And comes with a free salad bar. You can eat all you can for salad.
Wow.
And comes with dessert. I mean, everything I look at it back, what we did back in the back, I mean, there's no way you can make money. So that's why more we worked, more we lost money. That was how it went, like, first 5 years. We didn't make money.
So you run out of money and you call the gentleman in Japan who was sponsoring you. And what do you say to him?
Well, first of all, he called me. Why are you not paying? We paid about $100 a month back to him. And then I told him we ran out of money. So he sent us another $100,000. But we ran out again. And then he said, you know what? Your dad can't do it. So it's your time. You take over. But I was already working with him. So I told him, I don't know anything else I can do. So I kind of gave up. I told him, you made a mistake. We're out of money. I mean, I don't know how I can pay back. I mean, if I pay $100 a month for $400,000 debts, I don't know. I don't think we'll ever pay him back.
Right. So what kept you going?
Well, my dad and my mom, their living faith, like, they work 7 a.m. to midnight every day. I mean, about midnight, my mom cooks for our family and my cousin, whoever we're working. We eat dinner. And then I have to go to school. I wanted to graduate at least high school. So I go to school till about noon and then go back to work again. We kept doing that. And Sunday, we cook for church. And then we have a service at night. If you listen to my dad's 2 hours message, you get free food. So anyway, so my dad did that. But every Saturday night, let's say I go out, come back 3-4 in the morning after bowling, whatever. My dad never slept even a minute because he has to prepare the message for church every Sunday. So they're working so hard. They're sleeping while they're eating. Lunch break. We eat and they both us, you know.
Naughty dog.
And I just couldn't leave them. So I said, you know what? You want me to quit school? They said, please quit school. I said, okay. So that was pretty easy because I wasn't that smart anyway. Maybe they might be the only Asian parents that tells your kids to quit school. But, you know, so that's why when I decided, you know, if I'm going to do it, why not do my best to help them out? And meanwhile, my dad gave me so many Bible verses like patient, the good character. If you have good character, you have hope. Okay, Dad, I'll do my best. And these are two things. It's not what you know, but who you know. So I started talking to every customer who came in with my broken English, and they were so nice to me and they helped us so much. And second thing he said was, do your best and let God do the rest. So when we built the sushi bar, we had no idea how to make sushi. I had to buy a book. One book I still remember, how I was a sushi for dummies. I mean, my sushi was horrible. Yet I can do my best. And if it doesn't work out, I'm going to blame upstairs. So since then, I changed my whole attitude toward work and life. I never had a bad day since, because I can only do is to do my best.
So before you decided to join your parents, did you have other dreams? Did you have
yes.
other things you wanted to do?
Oh, yes.
What
I mean,
what did you think about?
Well, I was going to go UCLA. All my friends went there. You know, after I was going to transfer and everything, I was thinking about maybe international business, this. My sister wanted to be a flight attendant. We all had a different, you know, plans. But more I see my parents, I have to change my career or goals. Ooh, I mean, I want to be with them. That's how, when I used to go to college, I changed my whole plan to be with them.
Taro, I've heard you say you felt at some point maybe you didn't have a choice but to help them, and that ended up being the biggest blessing. Talk to us about that, because I do think sometimes in family businesses, mm-hmm. that is what happens. People have other dreams. They think the last thing they're going to do is be part of what their parents are doing. But you felt that. You felt, I have no choice. But tell us how you feel that turned into a blessing for you.
Well, my mom told me how many years ago, she started crying. She said, you know what? I know you wanted to play sports in high school. You couldn't. I knew you wanted to go to college and have a college life. You couldn't. And you couldn't party. You couldn't do this. You just worked and with us. And I'm so sorry. She started crying. I said, Mom, please. I'm the guy, if I had a choice, work or play, I'm going to play all day. Party or work, I'm going to party all day. I might not be here. I might be lost out there somewhere, because I had no choice. I was able to be with my parents, and now we have business. So I thanked her so much. You know, please don't ever feel sorry for me because of the no choice. I'm having amazing time with my family. Yes, like you said, it was amazing that I had no choice but help.
Oh, that's incredible. When you started the restaurant, were you the chef, or how did you find a chef to begin?
Well, my mom is the one cooking, but she did home cooking. So some of the dishes take 3 days to prepare. And once you order, my dad was somewhat perfectionist. Let's say it's 4 orders of chicken teriyaki. He can only do one at a time because he wants to make it good. So by the time third dish come out, people say, we have to go. So I mean, we had a lot of arguments, of course, because he has his own way and he's very stubborn too. Once he told me, tell everybody, if they don't go to church this Sunday, they're fired. I said, Dad, we can't do that. So I have to convince him. Oh, I don't know how many times my dad fired me. He said, son,
really?
You're fired. Get out of here. I said, okay. Are you sure you don't want me to be here?
So funny.
We've been there many times.
And you would just, you knew that you knew he couldn't actually afford to lose you.
No chance.
Yeah.
So I told him, you know, just be patient with me. We'll work together. But at the same time, we had the same goal. Purpose. That's why I could have stayed with them.
And at the time, what role did your siblings play?
So my sister did everything too, cashier to the server to, she's like my boss. She was pretty good at English too among us. So she did that. And then my brother, he was like a prodigal son. He was working with me and he sent his picture to one of the most famous fashion magazine and they picked him. So he went to Japan. He was supposed to come back right away, and he never came home for like 2 years. Missing.
Really? Yeah. Missing.
Oh, every time I wash dishes, I'm like, oh, where's my brother? I have to do it twice now. I thought he was coming back tomorrow, and then 2 years passed. So he's paying for it right now, though.
Oh, that's so funny. Did he make a career for himself at the time?
Oh, no. He was just working and paying for school to be an actor. He was on TV here and there, but he wasn't making money. So one day I sent tickets to come and visit me, and I trapped him and he's still working with us now.
What role do your siblings play in the business now?
So new restaurant we just opened, my sister did all the designs and her daughter did all the artwork for locations too. And my brother runs a central kitchen. We make all the sauces and stuff. And he's also CCC, Chief Creative Chef. So he comes up with the new dishes for us.
Wow. So he learned to cook along the way.
Yes. He's more creative. Yes. And I don't know, whatever he makes, sometimes I don't care for it, but we sell. So I say, you win. Good job. Keep doing it.
Taro, what do you think was the turning point? You guys worked so hard. You lost a lot of money up front. And then something started to turn. What do you think that was?
Well, I think sushi bar, we built the sushi bar without how to make sushi. And I carried the no problem to the bit. I mean, a sushi bar too. Back in the days, I couldn't even make one high school friend to eat sushi. I couldn't because nobody was. It was weird food and didn't cook it, so they didn't eat it. So people came in, they say, I want a hot dog. I just go buy a hot dog, made a hot dog roll and served with the ketchup and mustard. And people like hamburgers. I just make miso and miso happy burger roll. So I never say no to customers. So I kept creating new roll for every customer. We had about over 300 rolls at one point. But as soon as let's say a lady named Marilyn, for her birthday, I made a Marilyn Monroe. So she'd bring her so friends, good. Her family. Next time, you know, sushi bar is full. So just kept doing that. But one day I had a second baby, Chio. But my dad had a dream that morning. I want to name her Chio, me 1,000 sheep. I said, how come that sounds pretty boring to me? He said, we'll have 1,000 customers a day. I say, how? We have only small shop. I can fit 30 people in there. There's no way we can have 30 plus turns. My dad said, you know, gave me a vision. It will happen. As soon as he said that, yoga shop closed down. They said, you want to take over? I said, sure. Haircut closed down. Video store closed down. We end up asking donut shop to move to the other side. And then we start having 1,000 customers on weekends.
Wow. At one location.
Yes. So last year, we served about 1.8 million customers. I mean, from 30 customers a day, from $300 sales a day, on a good day, we did about, I don't know, over $70 million in sales. And we had even fish. We couldn't buy fish for a long time. We're the only sushi man in the whole world that couldn't have any fish to serve for a while because we couldn't afford it. Everything was COD, cash on delivery. So if we didn't have cash, we couldn't get anything, you know?
And so what did you do?
We just do cucumber roll, avocado roll, whatever we have, we just kept making rolls.
Veggie rolls?
Yeah, if you're a vegetarian, you would love it. But So now we use 52 tons of seafood every month. I mean, thank God for the big ocean. It's amazing.
Right? That's amazing. Taro, your rebelliousness, maybe it got you in trouble when you were young. How has it served you and your success over the years?
Again, sushi, they have so many rules. You can't do this. You can't do that. I break every rules because I wanted to make sure customer would be happy with whatever they want to eat. So breaking rules, I mean, being outcast helped me to get where I am right now because I can't be myself. So when I look back, I appreciate every hit, slap I got from the teachers and everything. I look back, every tribulation, suffering, whatever, they're all good to me. Because of that, I can appreciate so much because I don't deserve to be where I am right now. I mean, it's crazy that I'm talking in this podcast in English, telling people about story. This is such a surreal. I don't know how to explain this. I thank God every morning. Like every morning I send a devotion to my family and friends. I start doing that because my first son started going Davis. I don't get to see him. So I start sending quick notes. And then why not send it to all my family member, all my friends? Now 50 some people I'm sending every morning for the last 12 years now. Every morning.
Wow.
And then a lot of time, it's about gratitude. Today, I talk about podcasts, actually. God's blessing generation to generation because my dad, to me, to my son. Now, my son is having a kid. So I'm hoping just keep, you know, going for the next 1,000 generations. I mean, I'm CDO, Chief Dreaming Officer. I get to dream all I want for free. Why not dream big?
That's the best. So you had 4 children pretty quickly, and you're working full time.
Yes.
In 5 years.
Yes. Wow. I don't know how my wife.
I don't know how your wife
deal with it. I was working too. I had a cookie, my first son in my back. He was drooling everywhere while making sushi. And then my little girl was at the cashier with my wife. I still remember like yesterday.
So you brought your children and your wife into the restaurant. Were they there often?
Yeah, I mean, every day for a while. And when she was pregnant with 3rd, about to have baby, I said, you know what? I don't think we can have all these kids during working hours. So I asked her to stay home and watch the baby since. But
amazing. God bless her. She is a hero.
Yeah, but right now she watches grandkids 3 days a week and work with me on the catering 2 nights a week. Yeah, she might be the hardest worker in my family.
That's awesome. Koki, talk to me about your memories growing up in the business.
Wow, this is interesting. I never talked to this guy. Let's see. No pressure.
I mean, ever since I was a little kid, they'd always take me into the restaurants every... I was in school. We always had Mondays off for certain holidays and such. And I just remember always having to go to the restaurant and my dad would put me to work. I'd always be in the back just scraping tuna and doing small things and being charged to eat food.
Were you bummed about it as a kid? Or did you think, did it feel normal that this is just, I jump in and do what everyone else is doing?
As a little kid, I was always, you know, why me? Because I, you know, all my friends were off. They always invite me to go do things. And then I would always have to be forced to go to work as a young, you know, elementary school. I'd just be in the back just scraping tuna, not knowing why I'm here.
Yep. Typical third generation. Tell me about your memories when you were looking at your mom and dad from a perspective of a young boy. Did you realize how hard they were working or did it seem, what was your perspective then?
I always knew they worked hard. I mean, my dad was always coming home late and he was always gone. And my mom was always the one taking care of all of us, taking us to all of our practices, sports, whatever it was. She was driving all of us in the same car all the time in the Sienna. And like, I knew how hard they worked. And ever since I was a little kid, I was going into the restaurant and I always knew I was going to work in the restaurant somewhere, some way.
So you did. So you knew you wanted to be a part of the business.
Yes, I wanted to. And, you know, after seeing my grandparents work too, and you know, I want to carry on the legacy. I want to work with the family and I want to make them proud too.
What is your role today?
My role is a district manager. So I'm in charge of 2 locations and I work on other little small tidbits here and there.
I want to ask you a question respectfully. Mm-hmm. Your dad has really created such a brand with his big dreams and his big personality. And do you feel pressure to mimic that? Or do you feel freedom to be who you are? How is that experience for you?
I mean, I do feel some pressure from, you know, people and especially him. But I have a sister that also works with me. I mean, I really focus on the restaurants and she's more of kind of how he is and does like the marketing and loves to talk and I leave that all to her.
She's got the flair.
She does. I'm more boring. I work at the restaurants and that's where I'm more focused at.
I still remember when Koki was 11, he was, you know, working and I paid him $2 an hour. And after 5 hours of work, he said, My arm is tired. I'm hungry. Can I get a barbecue avocado? I said, hey, that's $12. You got to get 1 more hour in. He said, oh my God, this is so expensive. So I had to teach them the you know, value and everything when they're little so they can appreciate everything. So I always tell them, I don't buy presents, but I give you all my presents. But it was so hard because of having the business.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that is hard. And Koki, tell me about that, because when parents, first and second generation, typically they're all in and it's hours and hours of long work. So as a child, did you feel you missed out on time with your parents, or did you feel it worked fine because you were part of the business? How was that for you?
I think it worked fine because my dad made time to see us and to come to our sporting events and all these different little things. He, you know, always tried to make time for us. So I didn't feel like I missed out on much or at all.
You felt that. You felt that. Good. Taro, isn't that good to know?
Whoa. I mean, these questions, first time ever asked Koki in front of me, I'm kind of nervous. I'm sweating what he's going to say. I had a chance of just doing business, focus on business, but I told my wife and, you know, my executives, I'm sorry, you might think I'm lazy, but I never got to play. I want them to play sports. And I want to see myself how they're doing too. So I had to sacrifice a lot to be with my kids. But it was well worth it.
And you did what you said you would do. You didn't give presents, but you gave your presents.
Yes. But in the beginning, like when they're really little, I still remember my daughter said, oh, welcome to mama's home. Why do you say that? You're never home. That's when I said, wow, I have to change. I can't just work and, you know, not seeing them. So that was a kind of turning point of my focus priorities.
And how did you logistically make that happen? Because it is so hard when you're the leader and you have all these people depending on you. How did you make time?
So the thing is, when I look back, I don't have a talent on anything, not good at numbers, administration. I was looking for what am I good at? And then I couldn't find much other than having fun every moment in my life. And then at one point I had 26 keys hanging on my waist, you know, all these restaurant key, roof key, alarm, this, safe. Then I realized, wow, we have a lot of smarter people around me. Why not delegate? So I start giving key at a time, you know, you're going to be an alarm guy. If it's 3:30, somebody call you, can you check it out and do it for me? And next time I know, I don't have a key because I can start the car with my phone now. So
that's a pretty good place to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, even for example, like a sushi chef, we have about 200 people right now, 200 sushi chefs right now. But when we had an even smaller sushi bar, every day I had to talk to one of them. When do I get a raise? How come he gets paid more? So I've been spending hours. So I told my head chef, you know what? I'm going to delegate you to, let's create the level system. So we end up making like over 200 pages of PowerPoint with 12 different levels. And every 6 months, they get to see us for 30 minutes to review their written test, skill test, performance appraisal. If they hit everything, then they get a raise. Oh, wow. I mean, I did a Davis all day yesterday. Before that, I was at Eureka Roseville all day. I love them because they know exactly what they have to do. So they never call me, ask me any question because it's all up to them now.
That's really cool, Taro, because one of my questions was going to be with all your locations and all these, I think you have over 1,000 employees, right? So how do you keep that culture intact when things get so big?
It's not easy. I was talking to Koki yesterday too about hour two, how to pass it on our passion. You know, every month I make the video, encouragement video. Last 2 months, we're talking about purpose. And then, you know, why do we need purpose? What's your life purpose? All these questions. And some chefs watch it and think about it and give me all these answers. This is what I worked on this. I mean, so excited. But some chefs, of course, I didn't have the time yet. So how can I reach out to those people? We need to work from within, from inside out, not like managing people. You have to do this, 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 this. I want them to say, I want to do this, 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 this to make our restaurant better. So I was challenging Koki. I do mostly sushi bar side marketing. So we need to work on front of the staff. So Koki was telling me all the challenges he has. But at the same time, I remind him, we can't just give up. We just have to keep working and create new way of reaching out to them.
Right. So it's an ever-evolving process, probably. Yes. Yeah.
And I always believe in Kaizen. What's Kaizen, Koki?
Continuously improving.
Yes, change for the better. So we're going to keep improving in every way as much as we can.
Taro, I love your stories about Kaizen. Tell us a little bit about how you've implemented that in your own personal life.
Again, this is, remember the Hawaii trip? I took Koki and the other son, KJ, to Hawaii. I preached them all week, you have to Kaizen yourself. On the way back, I asked them, you know what? I should be better father too. So how can I Kaizen myself? Wow, they kept going and going and going. They can write a book about it. So I told my younger son, can I start with one? He said, yeah, why don't you follow your own advice? Wow, that was harsh. I mean, okay, like what? He said, you said don't text and drive. I see you doing it. I said, well, because I'm special, I can multitask. But no, I told him, I have to show with my actions, not just keep telling them what to do. So since then, I have new goal every year. How can I Kaizen myself? And then I quit something every year to make sure I'm not addicted to anything. Like last year, I quit drinking for a year. I want to make sure I'm not an alcoholic. It was tough. I go maybe 100 parties a year and people has, oh, this is whiskey just for you. I got it for you. Not this year. So before that was coffee. And this year, my goal is not to go shop. No shopping all year.
Oh, darn it, Taro.
But at the same time, I have a lot of goals. I ask my wife, how can I Kaizen myself as a human being? First thing she said was, why don't you think before you speak? I said, well, that's not nice either. And then T-H-I-N-K, you know, T, true, H, helpful, I, inspiring, N, necessary, K is kind. I had a hard time with necessary thing. I said thing that not necessary all day, all night. So end of the year, I was becoming a mute because every time I think about it, no, that's not necessary to tell these people. And then the following year, I asked my wife, I'm the only one talking. You should talk. And she said, well, you never listen. So whole year, my goal was to be a better listener so I can learn how to listen so I can listen to learn. And 2 years ago was be a humble servant. I asked my wife, how can I show my love to you? She just asked me to pick up the dog poop every morning, which I do. Yeah. So every year I'm able to last year was giving while living joyfully. So my number three, his son, he works for Baird. He's a wealth management guy, but he does 401k for all our employees. And yeah, I gave him money too. This is for donation. I'm going to do 5% every year for the next 5 years. And it was so funny. The more I give to him, the account gets bigger and bigger. And this year, okay, what's my goal for this year? Do you remember?
Yes. Walk wisely.
Daily. Yes. So walking wisely daily. That's my new goal because I'm one step away from stupid. One mistake, I can destroy my family. So every morning I wake up, I read that walking wisely daily. So I want to make sure I take wise steps every moment. That's my goal.
Taro, that's a great segue into going back a little bit in your story.
Yes.
Was it around 2005 you started expanding into Denver and other locations?
Oh, yeah.
And so talk to us about that. There's a couple parts I'm interested in. One is the taking on of partners. And I'm interested because as a family business, those are really tough questions, right? Because obviously it can be an influx of capital, but it also means you give up some ownership or things. So talk to us about that. And then what other challenges you experienced in that growth?
Okay, who's going to listen to this? Is my CEO is going to listen to this? That's my brother-in-law. Let's see how much. I get in trouble all the time sharing way too much information.
Well, we can edit this. Okay. So don't you worry.
No, the thing is, I don't have anything to hide because I continue to make mistakes over these years and I will make more mistakes in the future. So my dad told me not to have any partner. But he was my accountant. He was very smart. And he knows a lot of different things. And he asked me if he can be my partner, I just do is golf and just relax, focus on sushi bar. I mean, sound is so good. So I told my dad that too. He said, no, you shouldn't. But I did anyway. I mean, 2006-07, everything was going so smooth. And then as you know, 2008, we opened the Denver. After that was economy kind of took the turns. And I was in Denver, I start missing my kids' activities. Football, basketball, golf. I said, you know, I don't know if it's worth for me to just keep missing these games for Denver. I'm kind of going away from what I believed in. And thank God we lost like $5 million on the store. So, you know, I was able to make them agree to just let the restaurant go. And meanwhile, found out that we had $11 million in debts. So I think it was about time to file the bankruptcy and say goodbye to Mikuni forever. Then I told my dad too again, sorry, I made a mistake. What should I do? And he said the same thing. A long time ago, he said, look at all these tall buildings. What is it? I know what you're going to tell me. They have a deep foundation. So you want me to start digging again? He said, yes, keep digging. Don't ever give up. God started. God will finish it. Hmm. And then my brother-in-law, Haru, my sister's husband, joined us as a CEO, new CEO. And I don't know what he has been through. He was pulling his hair every moment I see him. But we worked together. He worked together with the bank. And then our executive cut 40% their salary. And we have to adjust it. And then we came to new mission statement because of the struggle we had. It's not about building. It's not about fame. It's about people. It's about God. So our new mission statement then was to be the most loving and loved company in the world. We don't have to be best at making sushi. We want to show love to our neighbors and we want to be loved by people. So since then, everything, core value, everything has changed. And Haru and Kevin, which is the CEO, they did amazing. Our team is just amazing. They stepped it up and did everything they can. And then we paid off everything by 2015. So in 4 years, we paid everything. And after that, we're working with what we have to start opening new restaurant now.
Wow. And so how many locations do you have now?
We have only 9 because my goal is 50, 50, 50. Why not have 50 businesses by 50th anniversary of Mikuni with 50 family members? I know my CEO is crying and, oh, he couldn't stand it. But, you know, like I was, it's okay. The dream. Come on.
That's right. You got to have the big goals. Well, I love, Taro, you love goals. I know. And I know the goals motivate you. But you don't just have goals. You have big, audacious goals. They're really more in the dream category.
Yes.
Do you always achieve them?
You know, so I, for church, I did a basketball tournament, golf. I mean, we did every sports activity. It's so hard to raise money. Somebody said, why don't you play golf? I never played golf in my life. I said, why not? I asked customers, 50 people showed up. I hacked around everywhere and they laughed at me and raised money. I said, oh, this is the easiest way to raise money. Just get laughed at. So since then, it's been 29 years we've been doing this and we're having another one in May. It's already booked by Just Sponsor, which is $6,000 a foursome. We have a waiting list already. And we raised like $3.5 million already. Like $1 million went to Breast Cancer Navigator program. My goal was to raise $50,000. So sometimes just I'm thinking way too small. So that's why I say, you know what? It's okay to dream big because God is bigger than what I can imagine. So that's only just a golf tournament. But other thing is like tsunami happened in Japan. It was very personal to me. So we created a role called Rescue Roles. Why don't we sell this 100% of the sales goes to Japan? This is back in 2011. In 2 weeks, 4,000 roles were sold. My goal was $10,000. We ended up raising $180,000 for Japan. So when Houston was flooded, we did it again. Rescue Roles, 50,000. Paradise Fire, 75,000. Cal Fire, I mean, even my Maui fire the other day, I didn't even have to tell people. People would start emailing me, are you doing the rescue rolls? I say, yes, I guess we have no choice. I love it. And then we raised $100,000 in 2 weeks too. So my dream is too small, you know? So I just kept, why not having bigger dreams?
Yeah.
And see.
Do you feel you always achieve your dreams? Do you have examples of dreams that you didn't achieve or they were too big or?
I don't know. I mean, like family dreams to have my kids in business. Even number four, she does real estate. She sold our old church building already. She did over $10 million in selling last year. And she's about to look for all the new locations for us. To have family in the business, that's one of my dreams. And like Koki, you know, it's not easy to work under me. It was not easy under my dad because we have a different way of running business. And me and Koki will have a lot of differences too. So now we have to keep, how do you say, communicating and find out what he wants and what I want and see if we can achieve the goals together.
Is your dad a dreamer like you are?
Yes, he's a dreamer. Tell, Koki, is he a dreamer?
Koki, tell me what your relationship is with your grandfather.
Same name.
Yeah, I have the same name as him. So both of our names are Koki. And even when I was little, he'd always take me to my sports and always come to watch me play my sports. And we had, you know, great relationship. He's always been, always took care of me and took me to eat all the time. My favorite thing to do.
I think you're not alone in that. So now, how do you think your grandfather's way has influenced you?
I'm not able to be like my grandfather, but he is very disciplined.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's amazing to see how he is and how he, you know, he never eats till he's full. He always eats 70% and that's all he'll ever eat. And, you know, you try to give him more, he says no. He's able to say no. And he exercises every day. Just if he decides to do it, he'll do it. Yeah. And it was, you know, to me, you know, something I'm always working towards. But to see it in action and to be a man of faith like he is, it's amazing.
And then to see your dad have these big dreams and how has that influenced? I guess tell me about how many children do you have?
So I'm about to have my first baby in May.
Okay, awesome. And so do you feel that between your grandfather and your father's ways, because there's some similarities and there's some differences, right, in how they have been in the world, how do you think that will influence the way you want to parent your child?
You know, I haven't done much thinking about that yet. But
I know it catches you off guard. You don't really think about it until they're here and then you go, oh.
I mean, you know, one thing I do want to keep in mind is, you know, I just want to be positive around my kids and I really want to instill that in them to just do your best and let God do the rest kind of mentality. Because you know, I believe there's only so much, you know, we can do.
When your dad told the story about Hawaii, taking you as boys and preaching to you the whole way, when you were young, were you rolling your eyes or were you impressed?
I was rolling my eyes a lot, especially my younger brother. He was very unhappy with my dad.
And then can you see now, have those same words from your dad influenced how you are today?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he just the way, you know, he's actually changed a lot. I don't really tell them this often, but I think he's done a great job changing and being better for my mom too, especially.
Wow. First time I ever heard this.
And how he treats her.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's funny, the perspective of a child, the kids see so much,
right?
That we don't think that they're seeing. Mm-hmm. So that's really neat to hear that, Koki. I'm sure it's meaningful for your dad.
It's kind of awkward because I know what other three kids thinking because we always talk. Koki's the only one really doesn't say much. So it's this podcast is it's really good for me. So I get to hear what he has to say. So please keep continuing to ask questions.
Yeah, keep interrogating him. Koki, what's your vision for the future of Mikuni's?
You know, for me, I just want to keep the family business going, and I'd like to grow as much as we can, and to be able to work on what they've worked on for their whole life it's just really meaningful to me, and I'd like to continue what they've been doing and, you know, share to more people and to reach out to more people as well.
Did you ever feel pressure to be part of the business? I mean, I know you wanted to, but was there pressure?
Of course, yeah. From, you know, especially my dad. I mean, he's been breathing down my neck about that for my whole life. So, I have a choice.
Yes, but. I always tell you have a choice, but.
Yeah. Do you think that you will give your children a choice, or how important is it to you that they become part of the business?
I haven't really thought that far yet, but I'd like to give them a choice. You know, I don't really want to pressure them as much maybe as maybe my dad has to me, but I'd like to give them the choice to decide whether or not they want to. And I guess it's my job to make it convincing that you should join.
Yeah. Well, I have all the plans already too, dreams too. Like my daughter is having a second baby too. And then first baby, her name is Ren. I have a YouTube. I have a plan that we're going to cook together when she's a little YouTube channel and cook with Ren. Her dad is Spanish speaker, so Spanish. We're going to teach only Japanese at home. So she's going to do it in three languages. And we're going to have a sushi cooking class when she's like 10 or something. So if she doesn't like it, we go to the next grandbaby. But if we have a 16 of them, we have more choices and we have more sushi chef. We need more staffs anyway, right?
Yeah. Dreaming is free.
Yes.
Dreaming is free. And so is making babies.
Yeah.
Koki, so I'm the oldest of five and we have a family business. So how is it working with siblings, and for other family businesses listening, what are some of the challenges that you've experienced and how have you navigated those?
So currently I just have one sister working directly with me. I honestly think it's easier because I can be more direct and, you know, I know what to expect from her. So I feel like it's easier to actually, you know, work with her than someone I need to get to know first, because I know the expectations of what she has and what I can say to her.
Mm-hmm. How about your uncles and nephew? I mean,
I'm
cousins.
Still learning.
Okay.
I'm still learning. I mean, it's easier for me if it's, you know, sibling, because we've grown up together, and right. Even cousin, I feel like I can communicate. But, you know, to my uncles, it's a little different, you know, because they are my bosses and it's a little more difficult than.
Can you share a story that you'd be comfortable sharing of maybe a time when you disagreed with an uncle, or, you know, and how you resolved that?
I have a lot of stories. Like, for example, his pay. I want to tell my brother-in-law, COO, he needs to get raised. He needs more raise, right, as a son. But I decided I won't be deciding his pay. So since even college, he was going UC Davis, he never got a raise for all 4 years of working there. Everybody else is getting all raised. But I say, you know what? I'm going to let him get respect from everybody, including general managers, DMs, and my brother-in-law. He has to earn respect and then make them no choice by giving more raise. That's why I didn't say a word about his pay. So he was complaining a little bit, right?
Yeah, because I mean, more than the pay, I'm just learning to understand their expectations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as someone that didn't work with them alongside them, you know, especially when it was very hard and they had to work long hours and, you know, and is failing at some point. And, you know, I wasn't a part of that because I was still too young and, you know, too. So they have different expectations of me as well. And, you know, it's just learning that has been a process.
Yeah. Last week we were talking about he's having a baby, and of course his wife is expecting at least 6 weeks off.
Oh, your wife works for Mikuni's also?
No, she does not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, she's expecting that you would have 6 weeks off.
Yeah. And then Our old farts, you know, executive that, what? Is he taking off? We never took off when we had a kid, you know? So old school and new school, we have to make some adjustments. So I was just telling him where they're coming from and what's the right way to do this, you know?
And so how have you navigated that, Koki, yourself with those conversations? Do you go away and think about it and come back, or do you
I think about a lot of things, but I'm mostly just listening to them. No matter what I think, I have to still be able to, you know, communicate with them and understand them, and I just have to listen to them more.
Yeah. Seek to understand before seeking to be understood. That's a good strategy. Taro, how have your customers played a role in your success?
Well, it's always two ways. So without our lovely community here, we would not have made it. So that's why I don't know how I can pay back. So first book I wrote, Abundance, I mentioned about the guy who gave us some money. And I was so excited. I wrote the story, how he blessed me and my family and this with God. And I finished the book. I went to go see him to give him a book, and that he was already gone. He never saw me cooking. He never ate my sushi. He never see what we have done. So that's why I believe in pay it forward. He did something that he didn't have any return. So we end up paying almost double, but he didn't see what he has done. So I'm always looking for charitable organization that they can never pay us back to, because we want to keep giving without expecting return. So second book, after 30 years, I was writing thank you letter to all the people who helped me, all the roles named after some of the people. And next time I know, I say, you know, I just make the book. So I made a book called Appreciation, and second book. And my third book, I'm on chapter 3 right now. It's called Ambition. I want to help other businesses how to go through COVID, how to train sushi chefs. I'm going to have all different chapters so people can read it and, you know, get something out of it. But without customer, we have a cookie club. It's like an American Express card thing. And we have over like 90,000, almost maybe 100,000 members join. And we just had a red card party, which people went over $100,000 points, you know,
25. Buying sushi?
Yes.
Or
at Mikuni.
That is awesome.
Awesome. I mean, some people are almost maybe 200,000 points. I know that. So, I mean, with those people, we could have done amazing things together. So I can never stop thanking each one of them.
I want to circle back on when you decided to take on partners. Do you still have any partners, or is your family sole ownership?
So luckily, because of all the debts, all the partner wants to be out. So my CEO talked to each one of them, and then we bought them out. So only family and one COO, that's pretty much partner is now.
How would you advise your own children on taking on partners?
Partnership is something else. I mean, he heard all these stories, so he should know what's the best for him, right?
What do you think, Koki? yay or nay?
Maybe not.
Okay, but again, if we're going to open 50, we might have to have the capitals. I don't know. We don't know.
Right.
We just don't know anything about future, but only thing we know is we have to follow God's plan, right? Everybody asks me, what's your definition of success? And I just want to do God's will for me, because I'm going to be gone pretty soon. As soon as all four kids have all the kids, I might be joining my dad in a care home. And, you know, I'll be shooting 60s in golf in my dream.
Let me ask the last question that we ask all of our guests. Do you think that your success is more due to hard work or luck?
I mean, I used to say luck, but I don't believe in luck anymore. Everything's under God's plan, and there's no shortcut for hard work, I think. I mean, Koki's learning right now. Nothing. Yesterday we're talking, more problem, more suffering makes him better a leader. You know, yesterday I was just telling you, right? Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Koki, how is that? Do you say internally, okay, I know my dad and my grandfather have said this, I got to dig deep, I got to keep digging. I mean, do you say that to yourself, or what's that inner dialogue like for you?
I mean, it just comes more naturally. I don't really think about it. I mean, I always, you know, every day I wake up, it's a new day and I'm ready to go.
Yeah. It's almost like through osmosis, you've just kind of grown up with.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I hear it all day, every night, growing up for now 30 years.
You've got it. It's locked in now.
I think, my CEO thinks I brainwashed them, but I just wanted to give them guidance. They have choices.
Well, thank you both so much. Makuni's 36 years, such a success story. And Taro, I'm going to be envisioning those 50 locations for the next, what do we got, 30 some years?
No, we don't have that much
less than
year.
That.
We have 37, so only 13 years to go. And then 50th location is in Maui too. That's why I'm going to do that too. So Koki.
Oh yeah. I was thinking 50 by 2050, but you're saying 50 by 50 years of Makuni.
Yes.
Ah, good, good. Okay.
So he better
Let's
start
go,
working.
Koki.
I might not be here by then, but he'll do it.
What do you think, Koki? Are you on board?
You know, like we keep saying, you know, dreaming is free. We'll do what we can.
Yeah. Awesome. You guys, thank you so much.
Thank
what a
you
pleasure.
So much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to A Seat at the Table, Trials and Triumphs of Family Business. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe, post a positive review, and share with another family business owner. For more information about the Capital Region Family Business Center, visit capfamilybiz.org. That's capfamilybus.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Capital Region Family Business Center and on Instagram at CapFamBiz. If you know of other family businesses that have a story to share, please contact the Family Business Center at info@capfamilybiz.org. That's B-U-S. We're grateful for the support from River City Bank to make this program possible. And special thanks to Guy Raz from How I Built This for a wonderful closing question that's become one of our favorites.
Hi, this is Steve Fleming of River City Bank, and we're proud to bring you the Capital Region Family Business Center podcast series.